present Janet Brown, Peter Jones, Dr. Magnus Pike, Kenneth Williams in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And I'm going to ask each of them to speak in turn, if they can, on the subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, without deviating from the subject. And we start the show with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, the subject to begin with is showstoppers. Would you tell us something about those in Just a Minute, starting now?
Showstoppers are those occasions when an artist has created such an impression that the proceedings are quite literally held up, when the audience expresses astonishment, amazement, and very probably great appreciation. It's happened to me more times than I can tell you. I did it once in a thing in Singapore, you know, that monologue, their little...
Janet Brown has challenged.
I thought there was a hesitation. He said, I did it once in Singapore in that sort of...
I think it was a sort of histrionic hesitation.
It was a very natural hesitation in view of what he did in Singapore.
That was Peter Jones getting his oar in nice and early. I disagree with your challenge, Janet, so that's a point to Kenneth, who keeps the subject, and there are 33 seconds to continue with showstoppers starting now.
I was an enormous hit with that famous piece. There's a little yellow idol to the north of Waterloo, and another one to
Magnus Pike.
Waterloo, it's somewhere else. It's
Kathmandu.
Kathmandu.
Thank you. You're not allowed to say that. It's copyright.
No, it's deviation, you see. You were deviation from Kathmandu.
No, the bit that I done in Singapore wasn't that bit.
Oh, but it's quite a different place, Waterloo, I must insist, from Singapore. Yes, yes,
what's the odd of that?
Well, Dr. to Magnus, the point is that...
Is there a little yellow island, a water island?
Waterloo? But in Singapore, this was the version that he did.
Do you believe that?
I can believe anything of Kenneth Williams. And I believe that it's possible you might have done that, Kenneth. So your variation was Waterloo and not Kathmandu, and there are 26 seconds to continue with showstoppers, having got another point, of course, starting now.
And another time I appeared in a tutu skirt and army boots.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of two.
Yes.
I was going to say that.
No, it's not. It's one word. It's one word. A tutu skirt. It's one word.
Actually, a tutu is a hyphened word, isn't it?
No, it's one word. T-U-T-U, it's one word, no two words involved.
Right, so another wrong challenge, but a good one. There are 23 seconds on Showstopper, still with you, Kenneth, starting now.
And my lines ran, here I am, a fairy, my boy, doing my magic rounds. And though I may seem a fairy boy, I'm strictly out of bounds.
There was another boy and a fairy.
Another fairy
well,
as well.
It has to be done for the metrical scansion.
Well, I can't help the metrical scansion. They say that you can press the button.
Listen, mate, I didn't pull you up.
Listen, Magnus, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, and there are 15 seconds for showstoppers starting now.
I was going to talk about showstoppers as the stoppers you put in bottles where you have an exhibition of these receptacles, because in chemistry, people collect the things that you put chemicals in. Showstopping also happens in science, where a great scientific discovery is made and everybody...
Ian Messiter blows a whistle when 60 seconds of speech is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. And this occasion it was Magnus Pike, so he's got 3 points at the end of that round, and he's equal in the lead with Kenneth Williams. Janet Brown and Peter Jones have yet to score. So, let us continue with the game, and Peter Jones, will you take up the subject of visiting and talk about that in just a minute, starting now.
Well, that word reminds me of the gracious period of Jane Austen and Mrs.
Kenneth
Gaskell.
Hesitation.
What?
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was a hesitation, Peter.
Really?
You didn't get wound up quite quick enough, you know.
Is that a fact? Well, all right.
You've been a bit sleepy tonight.
If that's the way you want to play it, Williams.
55 seconds, Kenneth, on visiting, starting now.
When I do it in a hospital, they welcome me and cry out, oh, how lovely to bardy a dolly old eek once more. And I bring the appropriate gift. Never the rubbishy grapes and lemonade and things like that. I take 'em what's useful, i.e. the bar of soap, the box
Magnus Pike.
Hesitation.
Oh, yes, I would agree with that. Yes, he was thinking what else he took, and he dried up. The hospital ones are very uncomfortable. The 31 seconds left. On visiting, the subject's with you, Magnus, starting now.
Well, I haven't got very much to say about visiting, except to describe how my wife and I organise visiting. The idea is that we have...
Janet Brown.
Oh, well, you repeated the word visiting, but...
But I can do it. It's a thing, isn't it?
It's in the game.
Yes. I realise when I press that buzzer.
I can do that, can't I?
Yes, you can, Magnus.
Thank you, yes.
Yes.
And can I go on telling them about my wife and I?
Yes, but I know you know the rules better than myself. I've only played it for 10 years, but I must explain to the listeners that, and to Janet, who has hasn't played it much, yes, that you can repeat the subject on the card.
I did realise this. As soon as I pressed the buzzer, I knew I'd come.
But as you interrupted him, I'm afraid he gets a point for that, and he continues with the subject of visiting, and there are 25 seconds left, Magnus, starting
now. Well, we started in Scotland, and we motored down to Mansfield, and there we had friends, and we stayed visiting, and I can say that again, visiting, and then I got a secretary in San Francisco, and when I was in when I was there, on the West Coast, I could stay with her,
challenge
and
you.
She's unmarried, so it's quite all right.
Is it? Did they stop me? Sorry, Kenneth, you...
Well, I was going to pick him up on a repetition of San Francisco, but he didn't repeat it wholly. He got as far as San Francisco.
He goes so quickly, he corrected himself in midstream, didn't he?
You're absolutely right, Nicholas.
It is very difficult to do, correct yourself in midstream, but few of us can do it, but Magnus Pike's a fine example, and there are 14 seconds on visiting, Magnus, starting now.
Well, visiting is jolly fun as long as you don't stay too long, but if you outstay your welcome, then... I don't say twice, you didn't interrupt me, but can I go on? If you outstay your welcome, then people get bored with you, and you get bored with them.
Yes, but you weren't going to be challenged until you drew Peter's attention to it. Peter, what was your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes.
Hesitation, I thought it was repetition.
Well, it was, but I didn't challenge that.
Peter, you have a correct challenge. Yes. There are 6 seconds on visiting starting now.
It's a delightful hobby if you take it really seriously, but you have to put on the right gear and you have to say...
Right, so Peter Jones was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained an extra point. He's still in third place, and Magnus Pike in the lead and Kenneth Williams in between the two. That sounds funny. In position, it doesn't matter. Magnus Pike, will you take the next round? And the subject is gas chromatography. I don't even know anything about it.
I know a lot about it, and they're the people who invented it.
Oh, good,
Martin and Singer.
I'm sure that Ian Messer had thought of it deliberately for you. So save it all and tell us about it in just a minute, starting now.
Gas chromatography was one of these marvellously simple discoveries which are enormously important. It was discovered by Martin and Singh, two young fellows, and what you do is, suppose you have a drop of red ink and you put it on a piece of blotting paper, the blot begins to expand and the different colours separate themselves out, and this is a method of separating chemical substances of rather similar composition, and you can take a little puddle of urine or blood, and this will enable you to separate out the amino acids, which are remarkably similar, and by making this discovery, it opened up a whole new field of chemistry and biochemistry, and a whole variety of biochemistry that a hyphenated word I quickly had before you went.
Peter Jones.
Repetition of biochemistry.
Did I say biochemistry?
You said biochemistry is a hyphenated word. You drew our attention to the fact.
Oh, I see. Well, I really finished explaining it. It was really marvellous.
It was absolutely fantastic. It was unbelievable.
Yes.
And
it's nice to get a bit of interesting information into a game like that.
I know. And the way you illustrated it is so ripe for radio.
It's educational as well, you know.
Yes.
They'll be putting it out at 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning if we aren't careful.
Another bit I'll tell you if I...
I have no doubt what we're going to get now is going to be very educational as well, because Peter Jones is going to try and talk on gas chromatography now, and he has 25 seconds in which to do it, starting now.
These spots of liquid that they put on the bits of paper, it's terribly important that they should be able to examine them with the proper gastronomic...
Gastronomic is to do with eating. You don't examine that. You just look
at it. So what is your challenge?
That it's deviation.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Look at the paper. You just look at the paper.
Yes. Well, would you tell us a little more about gas chromatography, Magnus, in 15 seconds, starting now?
Yes, I will. These marvellous chaps, having made this discovery, they published it. And it was for about 25 years in the literature, and nobody noticed that right at the bottom they said, and you can do this also with liquid gas.
Janet Brown.
Hesitation.
Oh, yes,
I've been misleading the company. Gas chromatography. I've been talking about paper chromatography all the time, and then they discovered gas.
And nobody challenged
wrong. So will you please not be misled about this?
So we're going to hear from Janet Brown now on gas chromatography.
Yes.
chromatography. 5 seconds, starting now.
Well, now, this is a subject very dear to my heart, and just because Magnus Pike speaks at a tremendous rate does not necessarily mean...
Janet Brown got an extra point speaking when the whistle went, and she's still in fourth place, but only 1 point behind Peter Jones, one behind Kenneth Williams, and he's 3 behind our leader, who is now Magnus Pike.
Am I?
Yes!
Oh, thank you, thank you.
All the grass, chromosomes, and what have you. My great-aunt Augustine is the subject, and Janet Brown, we'd like you to talk about it in 60 seconds, starting now.
What a wonderful woman my great-aunt Augustine was. When I think back to the early days and I picture her with her flaming red hair, her piercing eyes, and her protruding teeth, a sight one could rarely forget. However, she did have one or two very odd and very strange mannerisms, least of which, if I may tell you all, was the frying of kippers in her hotel room. Many a time she could be found sitting in front of her gas fire, complete with hairpin and kipper held close to the bars. Yes,
Magnus Pike.
You wear two kippers.
One was kipper and the other one was kippers.
Oh, you don't mind me as the separation.
Not in this occasion, because Janet was doing so well.
Do you tell us how it all ended?
With you, Janet. You've got them on your side, Janet. Go ahead.
And because she's a Scot, I wouldn't do anything else but give it to you, Janet.
Oh,
and say that you have 29 seconds for my great aunt Augustine, starting now.
Well, this type of behaviour could have gone on for years and years, but unfortunately, the hotel...
Peter.
You couldn't go on cooking two kippers for years and years.
What is your challenge, Peter?
Deviation.
No, she repeated herself, but she didn't deviate, because she said this particular behaviour went on for years and years. All right, Hearn, you've got 25 seconds for my great-aunt Augustine, Janet, starting now.
One day the hotel staff, wandering around at the...
Peter's challenged you.
Repetition of hotel.
Yes, there was a hotel before. You can't repeat a word you repeated before the other buzz, you see. Peter, you've got a correct challenge this time. There are 23 seconds for my great-aunt Augustine with you, starting now.
My great-aunt Augustine used to live in Aldershot during the war, and she had a really wonderful time. Haunting the station platforms, selling tickets at reduced prices, and sleeping in the sidings in the third-class carriages with various people she met on her journeys around the town and those delightful pubs that they have there. Well, she was an elderly.
Oh, what a picture you've come to.
I know. Nobody had the courage to challenge him for deviation on that devious idea. Anyway, Peter, you've got some more points there. You've moved forward. You're in second place behind Magnus Pike. Janet's moved into third place. Oh, but she's equal with Kenneth Williams. And Kenneth's going to begin the next round. And the subject is the Dunmo Fitch. Will you tell us something? Will you tell us something about that, Kenneth, in just a minute, starting now?
From what I gather, this is a prize presented to a married couple who can prove that during the years of their association, no harsh words or transgressions twixt them have occurred. And they are presented with the Dunmo Flitch. I am given to understand it's a side of bacon.
Peter challenged.
Repetition of understand.
You yes, that's right. You did start off by saying I was given to understand.
He's very sharp, you know.
You're very sharp. Good memory, too. And there are 34 seconds left, and it's with you, Peter, now. The Dunmo Flitch.
No, Flitch, dear.
I said Flitch, dear.
Oh, did you? I thought you said... Stop calling me dear.
I'll give you as good as you give me.
Oh, lovely.
And let me quickly... Well, I'm sorry, that's not a promise. Right, let's get on with the game. The Dunmo Flitch, Peter, is with you, and there are 34 seconds, starting now.
I'm not too sure where Dunmo is, but I imagine that the flitch is either smoked or green, streaky or best back, possibly, in which case it would be extremely expensive and probably come in a plastic bag, something that I don't like to encourage the supermarkets to do, two flitches, because I don't think it's appetizing, and although it does involve...
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
Yes, Kenneth, I agree.
I'm
yes.
afraid you got a little bit overconfident, darling.
Kenneth, are you going for the Dunmo flitch this year? There are 11 seconds left for the Dunmo flitch, starting now.
To enlighten my colleague opposite, Dunmo is, of course, in that ancient county of Essex. And I was there recently myself, not in connection with the flitch.
Well, Kenneth Williams and Peter Jones both gained points in that round. They've both moved ahead, but they're now equal together in the second place, 1 point behind Magnus Pike and Janet Brown, just a little way behind. Peter Jones, back with you to start the subject, the tip of the iceberg. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
It is the small proportion of it which appears above the surface. I knew a famous actress once who was always known as the iceberg, and she was incredibly mean, and I remember leaving a threatening tip which was referred to by a waitress as the tip of the iceberg. And this... Oh, thank you very much.
That's rather funny.
And,
he's completely thrown him to Kenneth.
No, no, not at all, and, no. He's learning fast.
Yeah. Yeah, but having put him off, you should have challenged him.
I didn't press my bus. I was so interested in the yes. Yeah.
Kenneth, your challenge?
He said, so I called it hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. So I got to hear, because sometimes I don't agree with the challenges. There are 38 seconds for the tip of the iceberg with you, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, this is, of course, a hazard to shipping, as we all know. But with this modern device called radar, they have a method of detecting it and thus not causing these appalling catastrophes, which once took such a heavy toll and caused mourning and
Magnus Pike has challenged.
I would challenge on deviation because, as a matter of fact, these shipwrecks don't come from the tip of the iceberg. The tip of the iceberg is quite small. You run into the great enormous, the enormous great bit that's underneath. So,
yeah, I think that's a very good challenge. The tip
yes.
of the iceberg doesn't always cause the...
No, it's not the tip, because you strike before the tip's come distance away and you think you're quite...
Yeah. Yeah. The sonic device.
No. It was a very good challenge. You were going back to a previous point. You said the tip of the iceberg was the cause of the shipwrecks. Magnus, good challenge, and there are 18 seconds for you to talk about the tip of the iceberg, starting now.
The reason why so small a part of the iceberg shows above the water is that the specific gravity is just a little bit less than seawater in which it floats. And so a huge lot of it is under, and now in the South Pole, the tip of the iceberg is flat thing, whereas when it comes from the North Pole, they're all lumpy. And you know, Mr. Chairman, they're fresh water. So if you're in the sea and you want a drink, you can break it off, and it's as fresh as...
Like an ice lolly.
Well, it's water. No flavouring, just fresh water. This isn't generally known, but it is so.
No, that is interesting. And you nearly decapitated Peter Jones, who's sitting next to you. You just tried to demonstrate the size of the iceberg. Magnus, you have increased your lead at the end of that round with another point for a correct challenge as well as one for speaking when the whistle went. And we're back with you to begin. And the subject is the inversion of cane sugar. Well, I'm sure that Ian Mester's thought of this deliberately for you, and I'm sure you can tell us a lot about it in just a minute, starting now.
Yes, I can explain this, because sugar is sucrose. It's a mixture of glucose and fructose, and when you invert it, you split it in half, so you have a solution of glucose and fructose, and they turn the...
And Peter Jones's challenge.
A repetition of glucose and fructose.
Yes, it's very true. But the fructose turns it one way, and the sucrose doesn't turn it at all. You get the inversion of the polarized light. That's all I wanted to explain.
Well, you explained it marvelously.
Oh, thank you.
We loved it, actually.
Yes.
You've given us so much gratuitous information while at the same time playing the game. You've been a boon. I hope you'll come
back
again.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
I think we've got the Open University worried.
And I might add...
Can I get him a tip before he starts on his bit?
No, I just want to add that
if you concentrate on enzymes, and the enzyme is invertase, that's how you'll get through to the 60 seconds bit of it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well...
Yes, yes. Because the subject is now with you, Peter, having got a correct challenge, and there are 48 seconds left for the inversion of cane sugar, starting now.
I think it's a great pity they invert it at all. I think it's a pity that they actually try to purify it and make it cost more when it's been when all the vitamins have been taken out of it.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
I'm afraid there's a
chance. Yes, quite right.
Absolutely.
Glad to get rid of it.
So we're going to hear from you, Kenneth, on the inversion of cane sugar, and there are 40 seconds left, starting now.
Well, it comes out as Ragensenac. That is the way you say the word backwards, and so you could be called inverting a cane sugar by saying such a word. It's quite interesting.
Janet Brown has challenged you.
Well, he repeated the word saying twice. He has said it twice.
Oh, same. So I did. You are a clever girl. She's very sharp.
Yes, I know. And she's going to try and talk about the inversion of cane sugar now. This is getting fun, isn't it? Mm-hmm. 26 seconds, Janet, starting now.
Well, I feel that none of what has been said has been very important, because the whole thing that matters when you go to buy sugar, you want to know if it's white, brown, or pale brown. You just do not care whether the sugar is inverted, separated, doubled, or anything else. You want to put it to use. That is the important thing to you. And I feel as a housewife, and speaking as a mother, and for every woman in this country, I'm certain that this is the thing we really all desperately care about. None of us are interested as to whether the sugar falls on the floor, hits the ceiling, or lands anywhere else.
Magnus Pike.
There's rather a lot of sugar there. Can I have the sugar separate?
No, the sugar is on the card.
Oh, it's on the card, all right. You did, yes, quite. Yes.
Yeah,
there's a bit about putting the liquid centres into chocolates, where it's very important.
Yes. They don't do anything.
Yes, but I didn't want to take
they
that.
They put the chocolate round the centre.
And then they invert the sugar in the middle of it. It makes it liquid.
Magnus,
you get a liquid self-centre. Do you ever... They don't go around with syringes shoving it into it.
No.
They put it in solid, and then you put the chocolate round it with an enzyme, and then you bite it, it's liquid inside.
It all goes soft. You can achieve the same result by keeping it in your trouser pocket.
Then you look, Magnus,
don't go on with that.
It's
I think
marvellous to hear all this, but can we get back to the game?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, that's all right. No.
The subject.
No, Janet Brown was just about to get a tumultuous round of applause from all the women in the audience for her
championing.
She's got it now. Oh. But actually, before you clap, she was challenged, so she gets a point for a wrong challenge and half a second left, starting now.
Well, I will remember.
And Janet Brown has caught up in that round. She's now equal with Peter Jones. Janet Brown, your turn to begin. The subject is mimicry. Will you tell us something about that? Because we know you're very good at it, but talk about it in just a minute, starting now.
I feel that there aren't many people who wouldn't like to be able to impersonate or do an impression or, as the word in the card says, have the art of mimicry. Now, this is something which can be easy or it can be difficult, depending on the subject that you happen to concentrate upon. If you find that you have a person who has very many mannerisms, then in that case you find it isn't at all hard to be able to copy this particular character. I well remember the first time that I met Barbara Castle, and she said to me, "If you are able to do an impersonation of me, Janet, I would be more than delighted." Now, in this case, I felt that this would be the easiest of things to do. However, Cilla Black said, "Oh, chalk, if you're asking me, I should say it would be very difficult." Well, this is what I really think is the most difficult thing of all, to decide who you should impersonate. If you find that your subject really does not like the idea, then move on somewhere else. Kenneth Williams, if possible. But then I have not the nostrils. On the other hand...
So, Janet Brown was given the subject of mimicry, her own particular subject, which she's so clever at, but she talked about it for one full minute without being interrupted. She gets a point for speaking when the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. Marvellous. The extra cheers were for the osculations of Kenneth Williams as he congratulated Janet with a kiss. And I have to tell you that our two guests, Janet Brown and Magnus Pike, coming back a second time are now in joint lead ahead of Kenneth Williams and Peter Jones. And this, I understand, will definitely be the last round. It could be anybody's contest. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject is astrology. Will you talk about that in just a minute, starting now?
It's the way the occult affects our lives, and people do maintain that the stars have an influence upon what people do and how their whole destiny is shaped. Now, I think it's a load of rubbish, but you do get people say, oh, I'm Pisces. I'm born under Aquarius. And this kind of nonsense. And they actually start, like these others, with Eastern sects and gurus and heaven knows what else. They collect all this nonsense together and think they can build upon it some sort of workable philosophy. Of course, they're hopelessly wrong. And it's been proved again and again, but then that's lovely.
Peter Jones is challenged.
Repetition of again.
Yes, again and again, yes, I'm afraid. So, Peter, you've got another point. You're now equal with Kenneth Williams, both 1 point behind our two guests who are leaders, and the subject astrology, and there are 14 seconds left, starting now.
Some people actually make their own...
Kenneth Williams.
I'm afraid.
Yes, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Quite right.
Kenneth, you're now equal in the lead with Magnus and Janet, and Peter's 1 point behind, the last round, and only... 12 seconds left, astrology, starting now.
Je suis grande étoile, was once said to me by a charming Frenchman apropos the stars. And I said, well, you don't tell no lies, love.
Kenneth Williams got that extra point then, speaking when the whistle went, and we come to the end of the contest. So let me tell you that Peter Jones, who did so well at the beginning, came in fourth place, but he was only 1 point behind our two guests, who were equal in second place, that is Magnus Pike and Janet Brown. And 1 point ahead of them was this week's winner, our old faithful, Kenneth Williams.
I think you'll all
agree. Well, we know that you think it was, anyway. We hope you've enjoyed Just a Minute. We hope that you'll want to tune in again at the same time next week. And once again, there will be four panelists and myself, and we'll all get together and try and play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.